Once, in the town of Berdichev, there were no Dalminim. For whatever reason, the shipments that year of the Dalminim, the Lulav and Esrig, weren't able to get from Italy, from Turkey, from Israel, to Berdichev, a town in Jytomyr, Ukraine, where the Halik Tzaddik of Lev Yitzchak Berdichev lived. And it seemed that the people of Berdichev would not have a Lulav and Esrig to shake that year. And in many European towns, the custom was that only the Rav, only the Tzaddik in the town would get the Lulav and Esrig, would get the Dal Minim, because there would only be one to go around. And everybody would bench Lulav and Esrig on the Tzaddik's Dal Minim. So that year it seemed that there would be no Dal Minim for the town of Berdichev. And then, after Yom Kippur, a passerby comes through, and he has Dal Minim. And he's on the way to spend Yom Tov with his family in some other village in Ukraine. So the people ask him, the people in town ask him, you know, maybe you'll stay with us for Sukkot, maybe we'll be mezakeh the whole town of Berdichev with the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrig. And the guy says, no, you know, I have to spend Yom Tov with my family. How can I give up spending Yom Tov with my family, even to be mezakeh the whole town? So he says, well, maybe you'll give us Lulav and Esrig. He says, no, I can't give up the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrig. The mitzvah of Lulav and Esrig means a lot to me. So they're stuck in something of a quandary. And this goes on for a day, and the man's not budging. So townspeople say, well, the Rav wants to speak to you. So the man goes in to Rav Lev Yitzchak of Berdichev, and Rav Lev Yitzchak tells him that if you stay here for Yom Tov with your Lulav and Esrig, then imi tihi b'mechitzasi, then when you come to Gan Eden, la'achar me'ev esim shana, when you pass away, you're going to be in my area, you're going to be in my portion of Gan Eden. So the man was a very firm Jew, and he hears that he's going to be together with the Rav, the Beit Talmud Chacham, Rav Lev Yitzchak Berdichev, together in Gan Eden. That was enough to convince him not to spend Sukkot with his family, to make the great self-sacrifice, not to spend Sukkot with his family, and instead to shake Lulav and Esrig with the people of the town of Berdichev, to mezakeh them in the midst of Lulav and Esrig. So he ends up staying by a certain family in the town, and the first night of Sukkot, and after Shul's over, after they finish Mariv, he goes back to his host's home. And he sees in his room, there is a nice bottle of wine, there are some beautiful fish, salads, meats, everything you might want for Yom Tov meal. But it's in his room, it's not in the sukkah. So being a very firm guy, he's certainly not going to eat the meal in his room, so he decides he must eat in the sukkah. So he asks the family he's staying by, perhaps I can join you in your sukkah. And they say, no, we're sorry, you cannot join us for the meal in the sukkah. So he's a little bit perplexed. But he goes to the next door neighbor, and he asks the next door neighbor, perhaps I can join you guys in your sukkah for the Yom Tov meal. And the neighbor says, no, you cannot join us. So he goes to the other next door neighbor, and he asks, maybe I can join you? And the other next door neighbor says, no, you may not. So then he goes across the street, and he asks, can I join you for the sukkah's meal? And they said, no, you may not. And then he asks every person on the other side of the street. And then he goes to the next block. And the story keeps repeating itself that people are not letting the man who gave his Lulav and Esrig to Lev Yitzchak and Berdichev, they're not letting him come in for sukkah for sukkah's meal. So he smells something is up, something is strange. So he goes to the Rav's house and he tells the Rav, this is very strange, what's up here? Why is nobody letting me into the sukkah? Clearly you must have something to do with this. This is very wrong. After all, I sacrificed sukkahs to my family in order that you could be able to shake the Lulav and Esrig. So Lev Yitzchak says, you're right. It's actually true that I said that nobody in town can let you into their sukkah. And I'll let people let you into their sukkah on one condition. That your mevater, that you give up what I promised you, imei tehei b'mechitzasi, that you'll be together with me in my portion of Gan Eden. So the man's pretty upset. He thinks that he sacrificed right now Sukkot with his family in order to be here in this town. And he thought that at least he'd be getting a licht gei olam haba. He thought that he'd be spending time in Gan Eden. But now it looks like he's not even going to be getting his big Gan Eden for what he did. But he thinks he's a firm Jew. And how yitochen could it be that he's not going to eat in the sukkah on sukkahs? He needs to eat in the sukkah on sukkahs. So of course, he thinks about it, And he relents. He says, I'm willing to give up that extra portion of the Olam Haba, that special portion of Olam Haba that you promised me Rebbe Yitzchak, if only you'll let me eat in the sukkah. So Rebbe Yitzchak's face lights up, and Rebbe Yitzchak says, since you're willing to make that sacrifice, since you're willing to sacrifice that portion of Olam Haba in order to fill the mitzvah of sukkah, I'm still giving you that gift. You will be with me in my place in Gan Eden. And that's how the story ends. And in Hasidic circles, this is a very well-known story. It's told over in many different kreis and many different Hasidic groups. Now, what are we meant to make of this story? It seems like it's a little bit strange. Well, first of all, the Svarim HaKadosh and the Sefer Kabbalah tell us that Ormakif Mitzachtzeach Hasakli Mibachutz, which means that sometimes when you're hit with a light which you can't internalize, it nonetheless makes you more pure. It shines you. It makes you more spiritually radiant. So the great Meshbir Fitzrabin once taught that sometimes when you sit with these ethereal Hasidic stories, these stories that you don't fully understand, which perplex, nonetheless, they purify us, nonetheless, they bring us to deeper spiritual heights. But that said, in Chassidus Chabad, there's a general trend that when you tell Chassidus Shemaisa, the follow-up to the Chassidus Shemaisa, the Chassidic tale, is Uvechein. What's the lesson we learn from this Chassidus Shemaisa? What's the lesson we learn from this Chassidic story? So the great Mashpir of Nachman Shapiro, the great Lubavitcher Mashpir of Nachman Shapiro, explained this story as follows. One of the big inyanim in Chassidus is that we don't do mitzvahs in order to get schar. We don't do mitzvahs in order to get schar in Olam Haba. We have to understand that schar in Olam Haba is something which is only tangential. It's only secondary. Like the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, citing Pirkei Avos, schar mitzvah hi ha-mitzvah atzma. The mitzvah itself is intrinsically worthwhile. It's intrinsically valuable. So what Rav Levi Yitzchak saw by this traveler was that he had the wrong perspective on mitzvahs. He viewed mitzvahs in a transactional manner. He thought mitzvahs are a deal between you and Hashem. So you do mitzvahs, you make certain sacrifices, and then Hashem gives you an Olam Haba. This world is a little bit challenging, or maybe a lot of it challenging. There are a lot of problems in this world. We don't necessarily have everything we want, but then we get the Olam Haba, and we get to spend all day in an amusement park, whatever your version of an amusement park is, be it a Beis Medrash, be it a physical amusement park, wherever the case may be. Many people have that flawed perspective on mitzvahs and on Olam Haba. So this man was willing to sacrifice in order to get to Olam Haba. But Rav Levi Yitzchak wanted to see, would this man even sacrifice Olam Haba to do a mitzvah? Did he realize that mitzvahs are far more important than Olam Haba? And ultimately, the traveler in our story didn't understand why mitzvahs are more important than Olam Haba, but he did the mitzvah over Olam Haba. He sacrifices Olam Haba for the mitzvah. And that's why Rav Levi Yitzchak put this man through the ordeal, and that's why he gave the Olam Haba back to the person at the end of the story. Because now that the person had understood the lesson that mitzvahs are more important or deeper than Olam Haba, he could have the Olam Haba also as a gift. Now, in Sefer Zeranpin, it takes the story a little bit further. The man sacrificed for what? He sacrificed for the Dalad Minim. He sacrificed being at home with his family in connection with the Arba Minim of Lulav and Esrog. Now, what's the idea of Dalad Minim of Lulav Esrog? So this explains, or really Kabbalah explains, in Mishch Chassidim, Prietz Chaim, but Chassidus takes us a little bit further, that the Dalad Minim correspond to the Or Pnimi. The Dalad Minim correspond to that which you can understand. They correspond to that which you can internalize. And in a similar fashion, Chassidus explains that Gan Eden is a place of understanding. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva Perikhes talks about how Gan Eden is a place where you understand the Torah ideas. Gan Eden is all about experience. And experience is something that you have to be able to grasp. Because if it's ungraspable, then you're not experiencing it. So the man was sacrificing on something in connection to a lulav and esrog for Gan Eden, because lulav and esrog correspond to Gan Eden. Lulav and esrog correspond to something which you can internalize, and they therefore parallel Gan Eden. In contrast, the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that the sukkah is makif. The sukkah corresponds to something that's beyond. It corresponds to something that you don't understand. And that which is beyond you is usually greater than that which is within your grasp. Meaning, you understand a certain chelek, you understand a certain portion of the Torah. But the Torah is Hashem's wisdom. The Torah is Chachmas Yisbarach. So, relative to Hashem's wisdom, you haven't even begun. You can't fully grasp Hashem's wisdom. So Rav Levi Yitzhak wanted the man to sacrifice for the sukkah, because the sukkah symbolizes that which is beyond. The sukkah symbolizes that which you cannot understand. But nonetheless, you immerse yourself in that which you cannot understand. And so this explains that mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh are connected to the transcendent. Mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh are much higher than Olam Haba. Mitzvah in Olam Hazeh are much higher than Gan Eden, because Gan Eden is all about that which you can internalize, and mitzvahs in this world we can't fully appreciate, we can't fully understand. And that connects with the general Yisrael in Chassidus, that the Iker is Olam Hazeh HaGashmi, that the main event in our Avodas Hashem is not Gan Eden, is not what's going to be after we die, is not what's going to be after we're a disembodied soul, but rather the main event in reality is this world, is embodiment, is Nis'ava Kadosh Baruch Hu Elias Elias Baruch Dira Petachtonim, that Hashem desired that he have a dwelling place down here in this physical world. And like the Ramban is Machriya, that the ultimate Olam Haba is not the Olam HaNeshamis, is not the world of souls, but is rather Neshamis Begufan, is rather a place of embodiment. And that was ultimately what Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev was coming to teach this man. Don't focus on Olam Haba. Don't focus on the monastic, on the otherworldly. Your spirituality should not be about running away from this world, but rather it should be about embracing this world and doing mitzvahs in this world, even if they might be beyond what you can understand.